Kibosai, good morning. Let's begin. First of all, we thank our sponsors for the shiur, Yonah and Shushi Ehrenfeld, who have dedicated the shiurim this month in memory of Yonah's grandfather, Reb Gedalia ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merits of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And to thank Said Haken for dedicating the shiur and the zechus of a refuah shlema for Sima Bas Miriam, who is having surgery. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring refuah. Shkoyach. Okay, so we have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Aleph 101. We are picking up on Kuf Amud Beis 100b, and we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Again, still some more statements from Ben Sira. Al Tatzer Tzaras Machar. Do not worry about tomorrow. Kilo seida mayalad yom, for you do not know what is going to happen today. Shemala machar einenu, perhaps I'm not even going to be here tomorrow. Benimtsa mitzta'er al olam she'eno shalom. And it turns out that I end up worrying about a world that is not even mine to worry about. So we'll say these are the statements of Ben Sira that are good statements. So Ben Sira says we get so preoccupied with worrying about the future, presupposing that we have a future, presupposing that there is a tomorrow. Now, of course, the great collateral damage of that is I end up missing out on maximizing today. So therefore, advises Ben Sira, don't worry about a world that is not yours. Worry about the world today that is yours. So where goes weiter. So all the days of a pauper are bad. Ben Sira Omer Aflilos. Ben Sira says not just the days that are bad, but it's the nights that are bad also. How so? B'shafal Gagim Gago, Ovimarim Harim Karmo, Mimatar Gagim Lagago, Umimatar Umiafar Karmo Likramim. So both say usually the roof of a poor person is lower than the other roofs in the city, and therefore when it rains, all of the rainfall, you know, sheets off the other roofs onto his. And again, remember, it causes leakage, causes noise. So too, again, he's usually only able to purchase inferior real estate. Therefore, his vineyard is higher up. When it's windy, the earth is blown off his vineyard onto the other vineyards. Okay, so the Mar goes weiter. What does it mean when the pasuk says all of the days of the pauper are bad? Elu bale tamud. This refers ultimately again to those who learn Gemara. So we'll say, why are all the days of one who learns Gemara bad? So Rashi points out over here, Shekasha Lilmog, because it's hard to learn Gemara, made of Kushios or Sugios Sheyeshbo. It's hard to learn Gemara with all the questions, all the different complicated topics. V'tovleid Mishta Tamid, but the Pasuk says that Tovleid Mishta Tamid, that good is the heart that is always filled with Mishta, with happiness, with joy, with Simcha. Elu Bale Mishnah. You know, we'll say, if you're a Mishnayist Jew, life is so simple, right? You learn a Mishnah, you open it up, you put it down, you have a cup of coffee. There's no real back and forth. Again, you're coming to shiur still, I just want to be clear. Right? But the idea is, the Gemara says, Gemara is much more complicated, Mishnah is much simpler. Rava Amar Ipkar, Rava said, listen to this, but Rava said just the opposite. Rava said, V'ahinu da'am Rav Mishar Shem Shei, Rava Maidich Siv, Masiya Avanimi, Atzev Bohem, Elu Ba'ali Mishnah. Rava said, what does it mean when it says that he who goes out and hews stones will be disappointed in them? Elu ba'ali Mishnah. This refers to those who learn Mishnah. I'll discuss what that means in just a moment. And those who chop down wood will be warmed by the wood. Elu ba'ali Talmud. This refers to those who learn Gemara. Also, here's the difference. The Gemara, Rava says just the opposite. Rava says, when you learn Mishnah, it's a very unfulfilling, disappointing experience. Why? Because when you learn a Mishnah, you don't know what to do. Halacha l'maisa. Mishnah tells you an idea, but you have absolutely no idea where that conversation ends up. As opposed to when you learn a sugya, when you learn Gemara, ultimately the goal is to work it through until you know halacha l'maisa. So you could warm yourself by the wood of the Gemara, but yet again, it's sometimes a frustrating experience to hew the stones of the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina Omer, kol yimei ani raim. All the days of a pauper are bad. What does that refer to? Mishi yeshlo isha ra. That refers ultimately again to someone who has a bad marriage. Now, both say this is an incredible yisod if you think about it. The way the Gemara over here is defining an ani is not defined by one's lack of money. An ani is defined by one's lack of shalom bayis. A person could have all the money in the world, but if I don't have shalom bayis, then ultimately, again, I have nothing. But tov leid mishta tamid, and good is the heart that is always filled with mishnah. Zesh yesh isha tova. Therefore, is someone who has a good wife, someone who has a good marriage. Rabbi Yanai Omer, Kol Yimei Ani Roim. So Rabbi says, amazing. Rabbi Yanai says, what does it mean all the days of the pauper are bad? Ze istinis. Rabbi says, what's an istinis? So an istinis is what we call today a mifunak, right? Someone, everything always has to be just so, right? Everything has to be just so. The food has to be just so. The temperature has to be just so. The planets have to be in alignment. Otherwise, I'm cranky. Otherwise, I'm braggish. Otherwise, whatever. So, we'll say a person who lives life like that, nothing in life is ever just so. So, if a person is an istinus, then all of his days are going to be spent in run because he always feels like he's lacking something. On the flip side, v'tov leiv mishtatamid zeh shadaito yafa. We'll say, on the other hand, who's someone who is happy? Someone who is easygoing. Easygoing. I'll say if a person is easygoing and doesn't expect the best in every single situation, I'm not only from yourself always expect the best, from other people, from other life situations, so life is much more pleasant, life is much more wonderful. The Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, last line, I'll say, Kufa Mabez, Kol Yimei Ani Roim, all the days of the Ani are bad, Zeh Rachmani. So I'll say this ultimately refers to someone who is a Rachmani, someone ultimately, again, who has empathy. Well, say, what does this mean? If you are an empathic person, then life is exceptionally difficult. Why? Because the world is filled with incredible suffering. And you see suffering, you see difficulty at every turn. V'tov leiv mishtatamid. But again, I will say, what does it mean? Tov leiv mishtatamid? Ze'achzori. So this is amazing. This is someone who's a bit indifferent. Right? So, and again, person who's indifferent to the suffering of others, life is much happier. Life is much happier. Now again, the Gemara is not encouraging this. The Gemara is not saying you should do this. The Gemara is just talking about a state of being, a state of reality. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Chaymei Ani Roim, all the days of the weak, all the days of the poor are bad. Zeh, top of Kuf Aleph, Zusha, Zesha, Daito Kitzara. We'll say this is someone, now Daito Kitzara, she says, top Rashi, right hand column, Mesim Lalivo called Daigos Chavero, Bedoiga Kolmasha Asid Lava Alav. So we'll say Daito Kitzara means always worrying. Always worrying. So always worrying ultimately again about himself, always worrying about his friends. So there's no lack or there's no end to the things that one could worry about in this world. Someone who lives life like that, that's Koyume Ani Roim. V'tov leiv mishta tamid, but good is the heart that is filled with mishta. Zesha daito rechava. Rashi says, what is in daito rechava? Ve'eno mesim lelibo daiga kolkach. So I'll say, this is interesting. Someone who doesn't worry as much. This goes back, by the way, to what we saw in Ben Sira before. We'll say, in life, a person has to make a conscious decision about what they choose to worry about. Worry about the things you could control. Worry about the things you could fix. Worry about the things ultimately you could have an impact on. But perhaps don't worry about the things that really are beyond your control or the things that may or may not occur. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Kol Yimei Ani Roim. We'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, all the days of the pauper are bad. Va'ikah Shabbos is Yom Tov. 1 second. All of the days? What about Shabbos and Yom Tov? So you say, there's an automatic assumption that even if somebody is an Ani, the community is going to take care of them for Shabbos and Yom Tov. See, even if 6 days a week it's difficult, Shabbos and Yom Tov should be good. We'll say, this is amazing. Kiddush Shmuel, Dabar Shmuel, Shinui Vesas, Tchilas Cholim Ayim. We'll say, a change in one's regular habits ultimately leads to stomach problems. Rashi points out over here, the Ani is used to a very light diet throughout the week. When he eats heavier foods on Shabbos, he actually gets ill. So at the end of the day, the Ani is happy while he's eating it, but he suffers the consequences afterwards. Incredible Gemara. So we'll say, by the way, there's a lot to be saying in general about this, how people become creatures of habit. Creatures of habit. And how difficult it is to break those habits or to change those habits, and how sometimes the breaking or changing of those habits mamish has a physical impact on us. So we'll say, if somebody reads a pasuk in Shir HaShirim and he makes it into like a song, or he goes ahead and he reads a pasuk. The base mishtos also means like in the houses of celebration. Generally, base mishtos does not refer to Jewish celebrations. So it's gatherings of people for non-religious celebration. It doesn't have to be something bad, but it's not necessarily a religious celebration. Below Zmano, and he's reading the pasuk ultimately again, not at its appointed time. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi right across in the right-hand column. Akori pasuk bebeis mishtos below Zmano, the mesiv al yeno, person sitting down drinking wine, Ose sichikosav b'divrei Torah, the kori p'sukim b'korah, masachik b'em b'nei ha-mishteh. Someone said, the idea over here is people are sitting around drinking wine. So what are they doing? They're singing songs, and they're using p'sukim from Torah, but it's not in a learning context. It's a little bit more like in a jocular context. It's a little bit more in a joking fashion, a little bit more. So again, the issue over here is one of potential disrespect to the words of Torah. But Rashi goes on about him, Omro bizmano, ala mishte, kigon shu yamtif, the note al kos biyado, va omro lav divrei hagado, psukim me nyano shayo, maybe tov lola. We'll say, obviously, you're sitting down and you're drinking wine with friends on yamtif, on a Shabbos, and that's in the context of a seuda, and you're saying divrei Torah, and you're singing songs of psukim, that of course is beautiful. The idea over here is, this is not in the context of a mitzvah, not in the context of a celebration. So maybe ra'al li olam. So we'll say ultimately again, this brings negativity to the world. Why? Because we'll say the Torah puts on a sackcloth. And she stands before the Ribono Shel Olam. Va'omeres lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, asuuni banecha kekinor shemenagnim bo leitzim. Your children have made me like a harp that the leitzim, that the fools played. In other words, the Torah is upset. She feels degraded and debased. Your children are treating me like something mundane. Amar Labiti, listen to this. Listen how beautiful this is. Amar Labiti, b'shasha ochlem b'shosse b'mayis asku. So Ribono Shel Olam says, my dear daughter, when they're sitting and eating, what else should they be doing? In other words, the Ribono Shel Olam is trying to defend us. He says, my daughter, you know, listen, at least they're singing songs of Torah, right? Better than a lot of the other songs that are out there. So, you know, they're sitting, they're eating, they're drinking. What would you like them to do? Amar Labiti, Ribono Shel Olam, and ba'alim mikram yasku b'torah. If they know Tanakh, then they should be learning Tanakh. If they know Mishnah, they should learn Mishnah. And if they know Gemara, yasku b'hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, b'hilchos atzeres b'atzeres, b'hilchos chag b'chag. So the Torah says, I don't understand. Let them learn. Let them learn. In other words, Torah is upset because they're making Torah into like a sing-along, right? Into a sing-song. So ultimately, again, that's what's bothering Torah. That's what's bothering Torah. But at the end of the day, so Torah says, why don't they just learn? So listen to say, hey, Rabbi Shem. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't answer that. The Torah is pure Kiddusha. So the Torah wants absolute perfection. Or actually, since I want to ask the Torah, the Torah wants absolute reverence. The Ribono Shel Olam who created us understands that we're human beings. And in fact, the Ribono Shel Olam is happy if my form of entertainment at a base mishta, at a celebration that is not religious in nature, is some form of Torah. So I'm interested in machlokes between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah. So Ribono Shel Olam, excuse me, the Gemara goes on. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Chanina, ben Chananya, Ben Chananya, Kolakori Pasek Bizmano, maybe Tov Yolam. If a person reads a Pasek in the right time, they both say in the right time, and this really means in the right context. If a person goes ahead and uses Pesukim in the right context, that ultimately, meaning in the right situational context, then maybe Gul Olam, this ultimately brings, excuse me, maybe Tov Yolam, this brings good to the world. Shinemar, the Davar Beito Matov, as Shalom Alech writes in Mishlei, and an item, a thing in its time, Matov, how good is it? Valochi Shalamak. So let's remember again, now we're going on in the Mishnah a little bit. And in the Mishnah, we spoke about the idea that if somebody recites some type of incantation, some type of sorcery, in order to heal a mach, in order to heal a wound, so ino chelik yolam ha, he has no portion in the world to come. Rabbi Yochanan. Uberokek ba. Now also the Rabbi Yochanan says, furthermore, this is if they spit. So often the way people would heal with incantations is they would first spit on the wound, and then ultimately again afterwards they would recite whatever they were reciting. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you spit first, lefi shein maskirin shein shemaim ala rekika. Rabbi Yochanan says, because even if you are saying a pasuk, right, still it's inappropriate because you shouldn't say a pasuk when there's saliva sitting on your arm. In other words, you're saying a pasuk essentially after the act of expelling saliva, that's a lack of covet ultimately to the pasuk. Itmar Rav Amar Afilu Negat Saras. Rav says, we'll say, even if you don't say the Shem Hashem, but even if you just recite a pasuk, like about Saras, Rabbi Chanina Amar Afilu Vayikra El Moshe. Rabbi Chanina says, even if it has nothing to do with the wound, but you just say Stama Pasuk, the idea of spitting on the wound and then reciting a pasuk is a lack of covet ultimately again to the pasuk or to the Shem Hashem. Ten Rabbanon. Sochin umemashmashin bivneme ayam b'shabbos. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. So if somebody had somebody had stomach issues. So the way they would deal with stomach ailments would be that they would put oil on the stomach and they would rub the oil. They would rub the oil. So the Gemara is talking about over here about doing this on Shabbos. So Rashi says over here, the idea over here is you could do this remedy on Shabbos, because ultimately, again, anointing or rubbing with oil is the equivalent of drinking, Rashi points out, which we're not going to get into the halachas right now. But the idea is you could put the oil and rub on the stomach on Shabbos. Furthermore, again, there were certain things that they used to say. Certain incantations they used to say, if there was an outbreak of snakes or scorpions, to keep the snakes or scorpions away. And you could go and you could do that on Shabbos. Furthermore, you could put a utensil on top of the eye on Shabbos. Now, when would you do that? So apparently, Rashi points out, if there was swelling, you would put a metal utensil over the eye to, I guess, the coldness of the iron, whatever it was, would prevent the swelling from spreading. You could do that on Shabbos as well. When is that true? The kli anito. We'll say that's only assuming that you're permitted to pick up the kli. In other words, it has to be a kli that's not mukta. About the kli she'no nito aser. But ultimately, again, if the utensil is mukta, you can't do it. Ve'in sholen bedvar shedim b'Shabbos. And Rabbi said, you can't go ahead and inquire of Shadim on Shabbos. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi in the left-hand column, third line down. Bidvar Shadim. Shekein osim kisha'ovdin shum davar sholim b'maisa Shadim. Ve'magidol ha'em ba'asar la'asas b'Shabbos m'shum m'tzoh chafatzecha. So Hosea used to be, I guess this was before the Rabbi Meir Balanes Tzedakah, right? So you would go ahead and you would inquire, if you lost something, you would inquire of Shadim. What that means, by the way, Shadim, inquiring of Shadim is not a Avodah Zarah. We've spoken about this before. Whether or not Shadim exists and what the meaning of Shadim is, we've spoken about this many times throughout our journeys in Shas. The Maharal's allegorical or metaphorical understanding of it. Again, we'll just take it as Pashup Shat right now. That you can't go ahead and inquire of Shadim on Shabbos to find out the location of a lost object. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Bechol. Rabbi Yossi says, you really can't even inquire during the week. Amar Rav Huna, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna said, halacha Rabbi Yossi, you really shouldn't inquire of Shadim at all. Now, we'll say, now why is that? Va'af Rabbi Yossi lo amra ela mishum sakana. And even Rabbi Yossi says you shouldn't inquire of Shadim. Why? Because as we'll see in just a moment, Shadim often have a short fuse. And so if you go ahead and you upset the Shadim, it's not good for you. So therefore, better to go ahead and try to find the object on your own. Kiyad Rav Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yossi, there was a maisa with Rav Yitzchak. What happened? Rashi says over here, well, look, the Ivla Ba'arza. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef apparently one time inquired of a shade, and ultimately again the shade got very upset at him, and Rav Yosef was swallowed up by a cedar tree. The shade did something that caused Rav Yosef to be swallowed up from a tree. This Avadei Nisa, Baruch Hashem, a miracle occurred. Pakab Arza Upalte, and the cedar tree opened up and spit him out. Fine. Turn around. So we'll say second of turn around. Sochin umemashu shem evnei me'ayim b'shabbos. So we'll say first of the widest lines. You can go ahead and you can put oil and rub it on the stomach on Shabbos. Ubelvad shelo yaseh keder shu osa b'chol. As long as you do it differently than the way it is done during the week. Heichi of it. So now how should you do it? Rabbi Chanina Amar. Shabbos said the idea over here is you have to do it with the shinui. That's the idea. Do with the shinui. Now, why do you have to do with the shinui? Because we'll say this is considered to be a weekday activity, and therefore, again, and a weekday activity for that's associated with refuah. See, under normal circumstances, let's talk about just for a moment. Under normal circumstances, so things that are associated with refuah are asur on Shabbos. The reason, again, why gzera of schika salmanim, a gzera that you may come to grind up herbs. Medicine is made by grinding up herbs. A concern that you may come to grind up herbs. Grinding tchina is one of the 39 malachos. So, according to this opinion in the Gemara, it doesn't apply to oils. It doesn't apply to oils. So the Gemara is saying over here, therefore, you could go ahead and you could apply the oil on Shabbos, but you have to do so with a shinui. So what's the shinui? Heichi avit, the Gemara says, Heichi avit, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanino Amar, Sach v'achar kach memashmish. You go and you put the oil on, and then you rub the stomach afterwards. I guess normally you would first rub the stomach and then put the oil on. Here you put the oil on first, rub the stomach afterwards. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Sach u'memashmish shabasach. So you do everything at once. Ten Rabbanan, we'll say second wide line. Ten Rabbanan, Sari Shemen, v'sari Beitzim, Mutar Lish'ol Bahen. supposed to listen to this. So apparently, there were certain shadim that you were able to summon up with oil, and certain shadim that you were able to summon up with eggshells. So the shadim, Rashi points out over here, Sare Shemen, it's in the left-hand column, Yesh Ma'asa Shadim Shesholen Al Yudei Shemen, Bekarilu Sare Shemen, Vainu Sare Boen, V'yesh Shesholen B'shvovera Shabetza, Kansarai Beitza. So we'll say these shadim, they were either summoned ultimately again by shemen, by oil, or through eggshells, Mutarin Lishol Bahen. Ultimately, again, you are permitted to go ahead and inquire of them. In other words, usually it seems to be they were consulted more often than not for lost objects. Ella mipnei shemechazrin. But it is better not to do so. Why? Well, so here the Gemara says not even because of the bodily harm. Here it's because they lie. They lie. Because understand, again, the shadim often have a vested interest in going ahead and messing man up. So therefore, again, their answers are often not reliable. We'll say there's a lot to say on all of these shadim gemaras. Please understand. Again, you can certainly understand them literally, because again, there's certainly a school of thought that say that shadim absolutely exist, and therefore these gemaras can be understood on a literal level. But again, also understand that there is a metaphorical level of understanding for each of these. All right, one day, Meretz Hashem will have the opportunity to delve into these sugyas. Lo chishin al shemesh abekli. You have the ability, I will say, to recite an incantation. Rashi says, Lo chishin al shemesh abekli. Osin ha osin, osan ha osin ma'asa shedim. Darkon luchosh al shemesh shebekli. Vein darkon, so let's listen to this. There are, so you could go ahead and recite an incantation on shemen, that's in a utensil. Vein lochoshin al shemen shebiyad. So we'll say, those who summon up shedim through shemen, through oil, only do so on oil that is housed in a utensil, but cannot do so on oil that is contained, that is held in one's hand. Lefichach. Therefore, I will say, if one wants to use oil, sachin mishemen shebiyad vein sachin mishemen shebekli. Therefore, I will say, if you want to use oil for something, do not use oil that was held in a vessel, but rather only use oil that was held in one's hand. The reason I will say for that is because there's a concern that perhaps the oil was used for shading purposes. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta ikla lahur shpiza. We'll say, Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta once went to a particular inn, Aisi le mishcha bemana. And what happened? The innkeeper brought him oil in a utensil. So what happens? Shaf, he put some on his face. Nafkan lot simchi ba'ape. And his face broke out with boils. Nafak l'shuk. He went out to the marketplace. Chazisiai isisa. There was a particular woman who saw him. And she said, Zika dechamas kachazina hacha. I see the shade or the spirit of chamas upon you. So in other words, he had put on himself oil that was used for Maisa Shadim. And because of that, again, it had a negative reaction on him. So we'll say the idea being that just know that with Maisa Shadim, the only oil that could be used is oil contained in a kli. Avdale Misa Shvi Istai. She had some kind of incantation or some type of remedy, and ultimately she was able to heal him. Amalei Rabbi Abba L'Rabba Bar Mari. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Kala Machala Asher Santim L'Sar Nolasim Alecha. So we'll say the pasuk says, all of the sickness, all the illness that I visited upon Egypt, I will not visit upon you, for I am Hashem your healer. So ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if God says there's going to be no sickness, then why do I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a healer? To which the Gemara says, this pasuk can be interpreted on its own. How so? Shneamar, Vayomer im shamar tishma al kol hashem alakecha. It's because Yibam Shalom says, if you will listen to my words, im tishma lo asim, if you listen to me, I will not visit sickness upon you. Vim lo tishma, but if you don't listen, asim, I will visit sickness upon you. And afal pikein, and even if you don't listen, and I visit sickness upon you, just know ki ani hashem alakecha, I will heal you. Incredible, incredible Gemara, I will say. Rav Shalom says, if you behave, I won't visit sickness. If you misbehave, I will visit sickness. But even if I visit sickness, Ki ani Hashem Rafecha, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your healer, I will heal you from that very sickness. So we're going to say some amazing Gemaras. Amazing, amazing Gemaras. Amazing Gemaras. Amar Rav Barbar Chana, we'll say, get ready for this. Amar Rav Barbar, Kishachala Rabbi Eliezer. When Rabbi Eliezer, we'll say, this is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is ill. Now, we'll say, understand, when the Gemara says, Kishachala, Chala doesn't mean he has the sniffles, right? Chala means he's dying. He's on his deathbed. Nichnasu Tamida Vodakro. His students come in to be Mavakir Chola. We'll say, we spoke about this many times. That remember, in the Gemara, whenever you see a great person dying, he is almost always not surrounded by his family, but he's surrounded by his Talmidim. Why is that? Because remember, once upon a time, Torah Shebaal Peh was Baal Peh. It was a verbal, it was an oral tradition. And as such, Rabbi will say, again, whatever a Rebbe gave to his Talmidim, he gave to his Talmidim. But when the Rebbe died, whatever Torah he had not dispensed went with him. Therefore, when the Rebbe was dying, ultimately there was an urgency to extract whatever remaining morsels of Torah remained within the Rebbe that Talmidim did not yet hear. So they're going into Bimavakir Chodah. Amar Lahem. So Rabbi Eliezer says to them, Chama Aza Yesh Ba'olam. There is a great heat. Right, Chama Aza, the sun is very strong in the world. Rashi says over here, Al Atzmo Hayo Omer Shekas Alav Hamakom Vehichbid Choyo. Rabbi Eliezer felt that his sickness was a manifestation of divine wrath. So Chama Aza, the sun is beating down very strongly. The Rebbe Shlomo is obviously unhappy with me because of something I've done, and therefore I have this terrible illness. His Chilu Hein Bochin. So everybody started to cry. Rabbi Akiva Mesachik. Oh. Let's say the great Rabbi Akiva, right? And Rabbi Akiva begins to laugh. Amr lo, lama atam sachik. Akiva, what are you doing? Right? Why are you laughing? Right? There are some people who just inappropriately laugh at all times, right? So why are you laughing? So the Gemara says, Amr lahem v'chimah mipnatem bochim. So why are you crying? So Amr lo, efshar, sefer Torah, sharei bitzar, v'lo nifke. So the other Talmidim said, the Sefer Torah is in Tsar. Our Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, is in such terrible pain. And how can we not cry for him? Amar lahem, lekach ani masachik. So Rabbi Kiva says, that's why I'm laughing. Kozman shani ra, Rebbe. Listen to what I say. So this is amazing. So Rabbi Akiva says, you know, all of these years I've seen our Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. All of these years I've seen our Rebbe. She'eni yayim yeno machmitz. His wine never went sour. Ve'ein pishtano loke. His flax never went bad. Ve'ein shmano mavish. His oil never became putrid. Ve'ein dovshono madvish. And his oil, his honey never spoiled. Amarti shemachas v'shalom kibel Rebbe olamo. I was always nervous that our Rebbe Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, nothing bad ever happened to him. Life always went his way. He had every single bracha. And I was always scared, maybe our Rebbe is getting all of his schar for his Torah in this world. Va'achshav shani roa Rebbe b'tzar. Now that I see our Rebbe suffering, ani sameach. Ultimately, again, I am happy because I recognize now that because of this suffering, that means that our Rebbe Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is going to have a lichtige Gan Eden. He's going to have a beautiful Olam Haba. Supposed to listen to this. Now, this conversation is happening between Rabbi Akiva and the Talmidim, and of course, right in front of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lo Akiva, klum chisarti min haTorah kula. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Akiva, tell me, have I done anything wrong? In other words, what do you think I did something ultimately to deserve this? So I'll say, Amar lo. So Rabbi Akiva responds, Limaratan Rabbeinu, Rabbi, you taught us. Ki adam ein sadik baretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yaakov. Rebbe, you taught us that there is no such thing as a person who doesn't commit averos. So you are Rebbe, right? You are great, but you committed averos also. I don't care what they are. It's not my business what they are. But everybody sins. Everybody sins. But the good news is that this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not given you all of your reward in this world. All of your reward in this world. But rather, again, you obviously have a portion in Olam Haba as well. So both say, this Gemara, there's so much to say on this. There's so much to say on this. Of course, this is another example of Rabbi Akiva's just incredible outlook on life. Incredible outlook on life. Everything has a positive spin. Everything has an optimistic overtone. And we'll say, so that's lesson number one. Lesson number two is a way to look at setback and a way to look at suffering and a recognition that every single time we suffer a setback or a suffering, it just guarantees for us an Olam Haba. And number three, we'll say something amazing, which is Rabbi Kiva was saying to his Rebbe something amazing. Rebbe, I know you've done averos. How do I know you've done averos? How do I know you've done averos? Because you're a human being. But I respect you no less. You see, I will say, sometimes our respect for a person is predicated on some type of expectation of perfection. And the moment that the person shows that they're not perfect, the respect is eroded. I will say, if you respect anyone based on expectation of perfection, no one is perfect. The greatest God, Lahadar, is not perfect. As much as people try these days to deify even great Jews, no one is perfect. Everyone commits averos. Everyone makes mistakes. The idea is to find the ability to respect and revere great people in our lives, despite their mistakes, recognizing their mistakes, understand their human feelings. As Rabbi Kiva was saying, Rebbe, of course you committed averos, because you're a human being just like the rest of us. But you're still my Rebbe, right? I still look up to you. I still love you. I still respect you. Incredible. It gets better. Ten Rabbanon. Kishchal Rabbi Eliezer. We'll say another Rabbi Eliezer story. Rabbi Eliezer is sick. Now, this could be just the same illness. Just the same illness. Nichnasu ba'arba oz zekinu levakro. Four of the zekinim went in to visit Rabbi Tavra, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Elazar, ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva. What's he saying? Shayim Suba ben Ebrak. Right? So it sounds like, right? So what happens? So they all go in. They all go in to visit in the Vakir Chola. Not in Rabbi Tarfa. So we'll say each of the Talmidim wanted to say something divrechizuk to their Rebbe. Not in Rabbi Tarfa and Va'amar. Tov atal Yisrael mitipa shal gishamim. Rebbe, so Rabbi Tarfa says to Rabbi Eliezer, Rebbe, you are better for Klal Yisrael than rain. Shetipa shal gisham ba'olam azev, Rebbe ba'olam azev ba'olam abal. It's because a drop of rain is good in this world. But Rebbe, you're good for us in this world, and you're good for us in Olam Haba. So beautiful. Nana Rabbi Shabbishua said, Vamar Tovat al Yisrael Yosef Migalgal Chama. Rebbe, you are better for us than the sun. Shagalgal Chama Olam Hazeh, because the sun helps us in this world. Rebbe Olam Hazeh Olam Haba. And Rebbe, you help us in this world and in the world to come. Nana Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah, Vamar Tovat al Yisrael Yosef Mi'avvaim. Rebbe, you are better for us than a father and a mother. Sha'avvaim Ba'olam Hazeh. Because a father and mother, and most you have them in this world. But Rebbe, we have you in this world and in the world to come. Nana Rabbi Akiva. Listen to this. Rabbi Akiva says, Rebbe, chavivin yisurin. Suffering is good. Suffering is good. Amar lahem. So Rabbi Eliezer, he also says, so again, the praise was very nice to Rabbi Eliezer, but it didn't move him. Look what he says. Amar lahem, samchuni ve'eshma devre Akiva tamidi. Help me sit up. And let me try to understand what Akiva just said. Shamar Chaviv and Yisurun. So Rabbi Elazar asked Talmidim, help me sit up in the bed. So he sits up and he says, Va'amar, excuse me, Amar la'Akiva, minayin l'cha, zu minayin l'cha. Akiva, where do you know this from? How do you know this idea that suffering is good? In other words, how do you know that somehow there's a positive byproduct of suffering? I both say, whether that means there's a positive byproduct in that it forges my identity, or there's a positive byproduct in that it cleanses me of my averos in this world, so that I have the ability to enjoy Olam Haba. Where do you know it from? Amar mikra ani doresh. Rebbe, I darshan ultimately again a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Ben shteimis shana minashe b'malcho v'chamishim v'chamish shana malcho b'Yerushalayim ve'asar b'nei Hashem. So we'll say, remember again, it's about King Menashe. So King Menashe was 12 years into his reign. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So Menashe was made king at the age of 12 years old, and he reigns for 55 years. 55 years in Yerushalayim. Ve'asar b'ara b'nei Hashem. And he does that which was evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we saw about Menashe before. Menashe is the son of Chizkiyo, the longest reigning monarch. And he's a bad guy for 33 years of his life. Uksib. I will say, I'm a base. Uksib. Kam eila mashali shlom, asher etiku anshech. I will say, I said, you're about to read an amazing Gemara. I know everything is amazing. And everything, this is mamish like, to catch our breath for a second. Okay, good. Gam eila mishali shlom asher etiku anshe chizkiyo melech Yehuda. So listen to this. The pasuk says over here, mishlei, that Shlomo HaMelech, right? Eila mishlei shlom asher etiku anshe chizkiyo melech Yehuda. So we'll say these are the words, the mashonah of Shlomo HaMelech, that were copied, or that not were authored, but were solidified by Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. We'll say the idea being that Chizkiyo, we spoke about Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo was a great tzaddik, and Chizkiyo was not only a king, but he was a rebbe to Klal Yisrael. Chizkiyo sparks an entire Torah learning about tshuva movement, Shein Kamor. Remember, we saw on the days of Chizkiyo, men, women, and children, everyone knew the laws of Tumah and Tara. So the Gemara asks, V'chi Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda l'chava olam kulo limei Torah, olam menashe b'no lo limei Torah? Well, say, you hear the Shaila? Chizkiyo HaMelech, you taught Gans Klav Yisrael, Kala Torah Kula, and you didn't teach your own kid? Remember, you understand what's happening over here? Menashe, one of the greatest Rishoim, right? He does tshuva at the end, but for the first, one of the greatest Rishoim is the son of the greatest Rebbe of Klav Yisrael, Chizkiyo HaMelech. You taught Torah to all of Klal Yisrael, but you didn't teach it to your own kid. The answer is, of course he taught Torah to his kid. Of course he tried to inspire his kid. But we'll say, we all know that at some point in time, my children make their own decisions. We'll say, you know, the key to positive parenting, to successful parenting in our dar, I don't know what the key is. I think that the key is, prevent your children from making their own decisions for as long as possible. What do I mean by that? Both said there is this ridiculous notion that you have to give children autonomy at a young age. Oh, my kid is 13 and should begin making his own decisions. No, he shouldn't. He's an idiot. He should not be making his own decisions. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? Or, you know, I should let my daughter make certain decisions. She's already 11 years old. She's young. No. The idea is you remove a child, especially in our door, where there are so many incredible negative influences and so many negative things. The goal of positive religious parenting today is you keep your kid close and you make as many decisions as you can for them for as long as possible. Now, of course, the chap is you give them the illusion of autonomy. You let them think that they're making their own decisions. You give them little ways in which to flex their muscles of independence. Because they'll both say, you know, no matter how wonderful your kid is, if you give them too much autonomy, they will make all the wrong decisions. They will always choose the things that are not Jewish. They will always choose the things that give them less strictures. They will always choose the things that make their lives easier, more, quote-unquote, enjoyable, with the least amount of religious responsibilities possible. So the idea, so we'll say, an incredible, incredible yisod. So the idea over here is, of course, Chizkiyahu went ahead and taught Menashe Torah. But Menashe, at some point in time, I don't know what age, made his own decisions. His father gave him everything. Father gave him everything. But at some point in time, Menashe made his own decisions to go out and lead his own life. So Torah doesn't lead him back. But what does lead him back to the fold? Yisurin. Both say suffering does. What happens with Menashe? Shine Emar. Vayidaber Hashem al Menashe ve'alamo. As we both say, ultimately, again, the pasuk says that Hashem spoke to Menashe ve'alamo v'lo ekshivu v'yavo Hashem aleihem es sari atzav shel ha'melech Ashur. So what happens? So Menashe doesn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a result, the Rebbe Shalom brings upon him Sarai Tzav Shalom Al Ashur. God brings the army of Ashur into Eretz Yisrael. Vayilkidu es Menashe v'chulchem vayasur ben chushtayim vayilichir b'bavela. We'll say, Menashe is captured by the king of Ashur and he is exiled. Ultimately, again, he is exiled to Babel. He's exiled to Ksiv u'beheitzar lochela es penei Hashem alakav vayikonim ha'omu lefnei Hashem alakiyav osa vayispalel elav so we'll say, so what happens? Menashe is taken to Babel, is exiled, and what happens? He suffers there. And it's in the midst of his suffering, you know, there's nothing like, no atheist in the foxhole, in the midst of his suffering, where ultimately, again, he is without options. When he has no more options, he reaches out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He reaches out to God. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? The Rebbe Shalom brings him back to Yerushalayim. At that point in time, Menashe realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one and true God. So what do you see from here? You see from here that suffering works. You see that suffering brings people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I will say, there are plenty of other stories where suffering doesn't bring people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Levice Rabbi Kiva was saying, Rebbe, if you want to know the biblical makar for the fact that suffering causes cathartic comprehensive change within people, it's King Menashe. Halamarata shechavivin yisurin. Ultimately, we see from here that yisurin are good, that yisurin have the, when we say good, that yisurin have the ability to bring people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to spark tshuva, and to spark introspection. So we'll say, this is the message of Chizuk. Now again, obviously, you don't try this in your own bigger cholim visits. It's not the message. It's right, Rabbi Kiva is a different, Rabbi Kiva is a different neshama. He's a different neshama. And the difference of also Rabbi Kiva is another good Muslim. Sometimes you could say things that seem a little bit strong as long as the person you're speaking to knows you love them. You see, Rabbi Akiva is such a Baal Avas Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva is the Haftarecha Kamocha Jew. Everyone knows Rabbi Akiva loves us. When Rabbi Akiva says something that sounds like a little bit stark, you what you say to yourself is, you know, sometimes when somebody says something that's very strong, you say to yourself, like, what does that mean? Or why are you saying that to me? Or who are you to say that to me? When it comes from someone who loves you, so what it does is, like you say, like, I don't get that. Like, what does that mean? You love me. I know you're talking to me out of love. Explain that to me a little bit. That's what happened over here. Rabbi Eliezer realized that one of his most prized talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, who loved him so much, said something that at first glance sounds like a bit strange to say to someone who's on their deathbed. But then once he explained it, ultimately, again, Rabbi Eliezer was able to internalize the message. Rabbi said, there are three people who, now, Rabbi said, Bo'o Ba'alila means they advanced an argument against HaKadosh Baruch Hu that could not be refuted. Who were the three people who advanced these types of arguments? Elohim, Kayin, Esav, Menashe. Rabbi said, listen to this. What are the three arguments? Kayin dichsiv, gadol avonim inson. Now listen to this, amazing. Kayin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gadol avonim inson. Now when we read this pasuk, the way we normally read it is a declarative statement, which means, Kayin was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the punishment you've given me is too much to handle. The way the Gemara is understanding it over here is, gadol avonim inson means, God, is my sin too difficult for you to absorb? And what does this mean? Amar lefanei Ribono shel Olam, klum gadol avonim mishishim ribo. Is my sin any worse than the 600,000 who are going to ultimately sin before you by the Chet HaEgel? And you're going to forgive them. I don't understand. You could go ahead and you're going to forgive millions of people for the sin of the golden calf, and you can't forgive me for one Aveira. So what does Chesh Baruch Hu say to Cain? You know, good gezukt, right? You're saying good. That's what I remember after that statement, the Ribono Shel Olam diminishes Cain's punishment. Esav, what does Esav say? Dechsev, habracha achos hilucha avi. Remember again. So, the Esav, the way we translate, we translate it as a question. Father, do you have one more bracha for me? The way the Gemara is understanding it over here is, habracha achas l'cha avich. Father, what? You only have one bracha? Right? You only have one blessing in your arsenal of blessings? Of course you have something else to give me. And this is a good taino. Esav saying good. Menashe, betchilo karla l'kos harbe, ulubasov karla ke'avosav. Menashe, Rabosai, goes ahead and First, when he's in trouble, calls out to all the pagan gods. Only afterwards, at the end of everything, does he call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he puts, so to speak, the Ribono Shel Olam in a difficult spot. And what does he say? He says, Ribono Shel Olam, if you answer me, then I know you're the real God. But if you don't answer me, then what? Then what? Then you're just like all of the others. So he put HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost in this situation. And the Ribono Shel Olam answered. Because remember, by saving the king of Israel, who was an idolater, After he reached out to all of his other gods, they didn't answer him. But after he reaches out to the God of Israel, he's answered. That makes an incredible Kiddush Hashem. So Gemara says, "Baiter." Abba Shaul Omer, "Afa Hoges Hashem Ba'osi Yosef." We'll say, so to somebody who articulates the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll say, whether this is talking about the 42-letter name of God, whether it's about the 4-letter name of God, Yud Hey and then Vav Hey, is Machlokis. But Tana Uba Golin, this term as someone who articulates the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Ubalashan Aga, and in a foreign tongue. Fine. Shalosh Malachim Arba Yotos. I will say, there are three kings and four commoners who do not have a portion in the world to come. Tan Rabbanan, Yeravam. So we'll say, remember again, the first one was Yeravam ben Nevat. Why is he called Yeravam ben Nevat? Yeravam Sheriva Am. So we'll say, Yeravam ultimately again because he literally crushed the people down. Davar Acha Yeravam Shasam Riva Bam. He caused much machlokis within the people. Davar Acha Yeravam Shasam Riva Ben Yisrael Avim Shoshamayim. He caused much fighting between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ben Nevat, why is he called Ben Nevat? So we'll say, the Gemara is just seeing some type of metaphorical meaning in his name. Ben Nevat, Ben Sheni Beit Velo Ra. He was the son who looked but did not see. It was actually very profound. Nibet is like lahabit. He saw, right? He was able to, he looked, but he was unable to see things for what they really were. Tana, hu nevat hu micho sheva michri. It was saying nevat, the Gemara says, was micho, was sheva, same person, nevat, micho, sheva, michri. Nevat, shenibet velo ra. We'll say, why is he called Nevat? He's called Nevat ultimately again because he looked, but he was unable to see things for what they really were. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Micha, shenismachik babinyan. So we'll say, this, remember, Micha, you'll look at this Rashi on your own. It's Rashi on the right-hand side, that's Rashi on the, you'll look at it tonight when you chazer the daf. He's called Micha, because we'll say, this is the famous Maisa, where Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, I don't understand, when the Jews don't meet the tally of their bricks, the Egyptians throw their babies, right, into the place of bricks. How can you do this to the Jewish babies? The Ribono Shel Olam says, trust me when I tell you that there's a plan for everything. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't believe me, do what you feel you have to do. Moshe Rabbeinu pulls out one of the babies from one of the structures. That baby was a little boy by the name of Micha. Micha becomes one of the greatest of the Avodah Zarah in the ranks of Klal Yisrael during the Exodus from Egypt, to the point of Osai, that Micha was the one who brought idolatry with him from Egypt, even as they crossed through the sea. As they were crossing through the sea, Micha was like, hey, you want to worship? You want to over here? You know, we have a couple of minutes over here before everybody gets through. So that was Micha. That was Micha. So we'll say that's the, now obviously it doesn't mean it's the father of Nevat, because chronologically it doesn't work. But Lamaisik, again, this was the descendant. Ben Bichri Shmo, his name was Ben Bichri. Turn up on us, get ready for this. Shoshan Nivtu below Ro. There are three people who looked, but did not see. We'll say it's such an incredible yisod. Sometimes in life you look, but you really don't see. Ve'eluhin, who are they? Nevat, Achitofel v'itztenige paro. Nevat, ra'a eish sheyotzeis ma'amosar. We'll say this is actually pretty amazing. So Nevat saw fire coming out of his mukkel mila. Nebosai, Narashi points out this was in a prophecy. Now obviously, the mukkel mila represents a man's vigor, a man's strength. So he saw fire coming out from that area. V'hu savar, Nebosai, how did he understand it? Hu savar, ihu malach. He thought that what it meant was that he was going to be king. V'lohi, and it's not true, it wasn't he who was going to be king, but it was his offspring. That which would come from the mukkel mila ultimately, again, would be fire, would be strong. That was Yerav Mudinafak Mine. So he looked, but he didn't really understand the message. Achitofel. So we'll say, who is Achitofel? So Achitofel, remember, was an advisor of David HaMelech, who during the rebellion of Avshalom, chooses to join Avshalom. Achitofel, ro'at Saras shezarcha alama. So he saw Saras that broke out on the Mokom Mila. Hu savar ihu melech. He thought that was the sign he was going to be king. Now, we'll say, how does Saras on the Mokom Mila mean you're going to be king? This means Rashi points out, so we'll say, when a person is a Mitzora, they are set aside from everyone else. See, he thought, now remember, the Mokom Mila, the reason why it's appearing on the Mokom Mila represents the strength and the vigor of man. See, he thought Saras on the Mokom Mila meant that he was going to be king. He was going to be set aside from the rest of the nation. Velohi, he was wrong. What happens? Batsheva bita hu dinafka mine Shlomo. So we'll say, it wasn't him, but again, who was it? It was his grandson, his great-grandson. His granddaughter Batsheva was going to birth the future king of Israel, Shlomo HaMelech. So we'll say, these are all examples of people who see things, but they don't, they see it, but they're not looking. They see it, but they're misunderstanding what they see. It's the Nige Paro. We'll say, what about the astrologers of Paro? It's the Nige Paro. Veto. Well, so what did the astrologers do wrong? They saw that the Savior of Israel will experience his downfall through water. Amar, therefore they said, therefore throw all the Jewish babies into the Nile. They will say they didn't realize, yes, his downfall was going to be through water, but not through throwing the babies in the Nile. It was in the future that all was going to happen with the rock. That was the downfall of Moshe. And we'll say ultimately again, how do we know this people didn't come to Olam Haba? How do we know that Yerav ben Nevat didn't go to Olam Haba? So we'll say ultimately the pasuk is because of this thing, it'll be a chatos to the house of Yeravam to go ahead, to destroy them in this world, ulahashmid the olam haba, and to destroy them furthermore in the world to come. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. Will the Meretz Hashem pick up on the first wide line tomorrow? Shoyach. I'm sorry. At a certain point, you can't control anymore, but to whatever degree, you can hold on to the autonomy.